Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program. Mark Schatz and I are here and ready to keep studying in the book of James. We'll be in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. How are you today, Mark?
Paul, I'm doing great. I'm really excited about James because it's so practical and we can read here and apply these things to our lives immediately. It's a great book.
I agree. We've seen so many things that can help us already in our daily lives. And as I mentioned, we're down in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Would you read that for us, Mark?
James writes, beginning in verse 26, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world."
In a moment, let's talk about being religious and religion. But Mark, I see the word there that he deceives his own heart. We've seen the concept of deception several times already in this chapter. Would you like to tie those together?
Well, in chapter 1, James talks about deceiving or being deceived three different times. In verse 16, he says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." He talks there about, you know, God gives good things. Don't think that God gives bad things, or don't think that God tempts you with evil. So do not be deceived. God gives good things. And then in verse 22, he says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So there is a passage where James brings up the idea that you can deceive yourselves. And it's an interesting deception in verse 22, because notice what he says again, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." When you are hearers only, when you are not doing anything, you're deceiving yourselves. So there's the second instance in this single chapter where he talks about deceiving yourself, and really it's deceiving yourself by doing nothing. You think that maybe I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not a murderer or a thief, or we could go into that. But he says, you know, if you're not a doer of the word, if you're doing nothing, you're deceiving yourself. And then the third and final one in chapter 1 where he talks about deceiving seems to be very serious, because in verse 26, he says, "If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart." That seems to be a very serious type of deception, so much so that you're deceiving your own heart, and so much so that after that phrase, he says, this one's religion is useless. So James wants to be sure that his hearers, these beloved brethren that he's writing to, that they see things as they really, truly are, that God gives good things, that ignoring what God's word is and doing nothing is a way to deceive yourself, and that you can deceive your very own heart when you think you're religious, and that'll make your religion useless.
That's very good, Mark, as we look there and we see this idea of deception. Nobody wants to be lied to, and no one wants to be fooled. And in some cases, we realize we're just fooling ourselves. Now, he talks here about one who thinks he is religious, but we see that it's possible to think that you're religious and not be. It's possible that you think you have the religion of God, the religion of Christ, and you don't. He mentions one way to tell that in verse 26. What's that, Mark?
In verse 26, he says, "You're bridling your own tongue."
That's right. And so if we don't keep control of our words, remember what we said earlier, that you're to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath? If we don't get that under control, our religion is useless. It's empty. And wouldn't it be a terrible thing to live our lives thinking, "I'm religious. I'm okay. I'm ready for judgment. I'm ready to meet Christ. I'm ready to go to heaven." And then to find out that our religion didn't do anything, that we're lost. That's what he's talking about here, is someone who thinks he's religious, but his religion does not accomplish what he thinks it's accomplishing. He calls it useless or vain. And so we have to be careful that we don't fall into that trap of thinking that we can just say whatever we want to say, our words can just spew forth, and we don't keep control of that, and our religion ends up being a religion that isn't any good. Mark, he does picture for us here what a true religion is. You want to tell us about that?
Okay, but just real quickly, I was thinking on verse 26 while you were talking. It just came to me. He's talking about if anyone among you, he's talking to these beloved brethren in verse 19 that he talked about, these saints, these Christians, these people who are the first fruits of God's creation, that he's trying to encourage them to have God's word work in their life and produce the righteousness of God. So he's saying if any among you thinks he is religious, then you need to evaluate yourself and see if it's just a thought that you're religious or if you're actually following through and producing this righteousness of God. Verse 26 also, he talks about this one's religion is useless. I thought of how sad it would be to be a religious person, to think you were saved, to live your life being religious, but really ultimately in the end, if you deceived yourself, that your religion and all that effort was useless. And in verse 27, he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. He says here in verse 27, this is what pure and undefiled religion looks like. Not what man says it looks like. Not what you or I thinks it looks like. This is pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father. He says it is this. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Paul, there's kind of two directions there that our religion, this pure and undefiled religion, there's two directions that that religion looks. What do you think those are?
As we look there, we see that in one case it looks outward. And he mentions that first. He says that we visit the orphans and widows in their trouble. That person who has the religion of Christ is looking out in his own life, and he's looking out as he lives to see who he can help and the good that he can do for others. But then there's also an inward look in which he says that pure and undefiled religion is to keep yourself or oneself unspotted from the world. That you're committed to living a life of purity, but you're also looking out at how you can help others. We see something here in this chapter. We've talked before about the fruit that's produced. We've talked about the produce. We've talked about the word that's planted that brings forth that produce. And when we think about our useless religion, when useless religion sits around, it spoils. Just like a piece of fruit left on the counter spoils. It becomes no good for anything. But our religion must be something we're living. We're keeping our lives pure. We're keeping ourselves pure. We're visiting the orphans and the widows. We're looking at how we can help others. And so we are very active in living what we believe. Did you have thoughts, Mark?
Well, I was thinking in verse 27, and you mentioned the fruit that's spoiled, that it can get spots on it as time goes by. And I looked at verse 27, and what really jumped out at me was, we're to visit the orphan and widows. We're to look outwardly and glorify God in our lives by serving others and leading them to God. That's one aspect of it. But the other aspect is a very personal aspect, that I'm to keep myself unspotted from the world. Just like religion that is useless and not used, that fruit you talked about that gets spots on it. This keep is the idea of it's a continual process, that I'm to keep myself unspotted from the world. I can't just get unspotted once and then that's okay. I don't have to think about it anymore. It's a continual process of being pure and being what God wants me to be and letting that produce, letting God's word produce these things in my life.
Well, that's outstanding. As we look here in the Word of God, what we find here are some just real down-to-earth practical things about how you and I are to live every day. And as we think about those things, you may be hearing these things and saying, well, there's some changes I need to make, or I need to know what it even means to be a Christian, and we'd be happy to help you. If you just send us an email at truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com, that will open up a conversation, and we can get together, and we can study the Word of God and to talk to you about those things. Mark and I are glad to sit down and to discuss God's Word and how, as you have heard the Word of God, what you need to do so that your religion is not useless, but you have the religion that's able to save your soul. Truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com. Thanks for joining Mark and I today. We ask you to join us again next time for a few more Minutes of Truth.
Savior, like a shepherd.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.